So we're in Mesese Sharem, Perek Gimel, near the beginning of explaining Zehirus. We spoke last time about the Cheshbon Nefesh that a person should do, where he first identifies objectively what's good and what's bad, and then identifies within himself if he has that good or has that bad. And we said that applies both at the time when he's in the action and also the time when he's outside of the action. Ve'im yimtza behem min hara. And if a person is understanding himself and he's looking at his actions, identifying where he's holding, and identifies that he has things that are not in line with the will of Hashem, azit bonen v'yachkor b'sichlo eiza tachpula ya'aseh lasur min hara. Then a person has to do two things in order to remove that evil from himself. Number one is yitbonen, and number two is yachkor. What's the difference between yitbonen and yachkor? Yitbonen is looking inwards. Maybe I have the strength within myself to identify what it is. That's often the best place to find the answer. When you want guidance on how to work on yourself, the answer is not usually found in a book. The answer is usually found within yourself. Maybe you'll need guidance to look within yourself and to know what the answer is. But often people already have the answers within them. They're just not tuned into looking for the answer. And a good guide will be someone who will just ask the right guiding questions to bring that person to contemplate and find the answer for themselves. So the first stage, if you want to overcome the bad, of what to do is to mitbonen. Sometimes that doesn't help because you're not at the place yet to identify within yourself what it is. So then also yachkor, you can research. Eza tachpula yaseh, what trick he should do or what path he should take in order to remove himself from the bad dahu. That's one point. There's two separate things there. There's one is that you have to move away from the bad, lasur from the ra. But there's something else which is litaheriminu, because sometimes you're doing something bad and you can move away from doing the bad action, but your mind is still there. Your thoughts are still there. Your desire is still there. And even if you have enough will to say, I know it's bad, I'm not going to do it, but the fact that a person thinks, but I wish I could, and they enjoy the thought of going back to the bad thing, so they're not pure of it. So we're looking not only lasur min hara, to move away from the bad thing, but in addition to that, litaher mimenu, to be cleansed of it, that a person no longer thinks it. That's often the process that happens when a person's working on themselves. They first identified something's wrong. That's stage number one. And stage number two is, once they've identified that it's wrong, they stop doing it. That's stage number two. But they still like the thought of it. They still like think it's not such a bad thing, but just they know that it's not the will of Hashem, so they stop doing it. And then after not doing it for a while, and investing in Torah, investing in good midas, then they have a sensitivity to recognize, I don't even want to do that anymore. Like, it's repulsive to me at some point. I'm not interested in that at all. Those are the three stages. Acknowledging that it's wrong, stopping doing it, and then not even being interested in doing it afterwards. So that's the stage of Sur Min Hara, but it's Ahir Minu. But the Vaze Hodiyu Chazal, in Gemara Erevin, of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra mi shenivra. The Gemara says, it would have been better, well, let's be very medayik in the words, it would have been more comfortable for us had we not been born than we've been born. Now, they don't ask you, did you want to be born or not be born? You were put into this world. So now there's a question of, like, why did Chazal tell us that it would be better not to have been born? Like, how is that helpful for us now? Now the Gemara is asking this question. When Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were discussing this big question, is it better that we're born, not better born? They debated it for a number of years, and they came to the conclusion, it's better that we wouldn't be born. So, okay, thank you. So now what? Okay, so that my whole life is worthless now. It would be better I wasn't born. So then the Gemara goes on and says, V'achshav shenivra. But now that Hashem told us it would have been better you weren't born, but now that you're born, invested. So why did he tell us to begin with that it wasn't worth me being born? So let's just be medayik in the words. It doesn't say tov. It would have been better that a person wasn't born. It says noach lo. And this is a very, very important deal. Noach lo. What does it mean noach lo? It's more comfortable. The neshama was in a place where it was close to Hashem, but it wasn't growing. And there'll be times in your life also when you'll be in a life situation which is comfortable for you, but you're not growing. And sometimes the comfort overwhelms you, that makes you feel, I don't want to take the next step because I'm so comfortable where I am and what I'm at. Have you ever heard this expression that people say that someone else is fanatic and they're religious? Or they say they're ultra-orthodox? What's ultra? Well, anything more than me is ultra. Why do people say that they're fanatical or they're ultra-orthodox? Because people are comfortable at the level they're at. And a level which is a little bit above me is outside of my comfort zone. I don't want to go there. I'd rather stay where I am. Noachli. It's comfortable for me. And also for the neshama, it's comfortable to be close to Hashem. It was a comfortable place to be. Also, it's comfortable for the Jewish people to be in the Midbar. They had the clouds of glory surrounding them. They had the man provided for them. They had the well provided for them. It was comfortable for them. But you're not growing in that way. You're not coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. When everything is so comfortable that a person is not growing, Hashem will set up that you'll be thrown out of that comfort zone. Because Hashem wants you to take the next step. So for the neshama, it was Noach to stay close to Hashem. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. It would have been better for a man, for the neshama that was still in Shemayim, not to have been created. Because there was no risk. There was no risk. It was just good. But you know, that's not the way we lead our lives. I taught my children to walk. Why didn't I just say, no, lie on the floor, you can't fall. Don't get up, lie on the floor, I will bring you food. You can wear a diaper your whole life. Don't get up. If you get up, you may fall. Some people are scared to let their kids ride on a bicycle. They're scared to let their kids play on in a playground without like an adult watching them every moment. You might fall, you might fall. Just by the way, it's always those kids who fall. The kids who the parents give them free rein to like learn their own boundaries, they learn the boundaries. They know what they can do, they know what's a bit dangerous, they fall a little bit in safe areas and they're okay. The parents who don't allow their kids to fall, don't run, don't walk, just stay here. Like those kids don't learn what healthy boundaries are. So they don't know like, can they run, can they jump, shouldn't they? They don't know what the boundaries are. Noach, it's more comfortable not to be put to a challenge. But you're not going to advance in that way. You're not going to grow. If you're in yeshiva and you're not sure you have a question, it might be a question, it might not be a question, you're not sure. Noach lo la'adam lo lishol. It's more comfortable not to ask because it might be a silly question and you don't want to make a fool of yourself. But you're not going to become a Talmid Chacham that way. So go up to a Rebbe and ask. What's the Rebbe going to say? You fool, you idiot, what were you thinking? Of course not. No Rebbe's going to say that. The Rebbe might say, did you mean to ask this? And you'll say, yeah, I meant to ask that. And you'll realize, okay, that was a stupid question. I shouldn't have asked it. But the Rebbe did it in cover. Then he asked it in a kind of a way that made me feel, that's the worst that will happen. You know? But Noach lo la'adam lo lishol. It's more comfortable for a person not to ask. It's more comfortable. But you're not going to grow that way. A person either has to put himself out of his comfort zone or Hashem will put him out of the comfort zone. Because Hashem's goal for you in life is for you to grow. So it doesn't say it would be better that man wouldn't have been created. It's not. It's better that man was created. It's much better. Because that way you can grow. But Noach lo, it's more comfortable for man not to be created. But that's not our purpose. So Hashem didn't do that. So why did he tell us that it would be more comfortable if not created? To tell us that we must not allow ourselves to get into a comfort zone. Do you hear that? That's the reason why Hashem told us this information, that it was comfortable for us to remain in that world. Why did he tell us that information? To tell us that if he put us here in this world, it's not to be comfortable. That's why he came down to the world. So the Hashem, through Chazal, told us, it wouldn't be more comfortable for you to stay in the upper world, but I put you down in this world to work. I put you down in this world not to remain comfortable, to push yourself, to maximize your stay here in this world. So, achshav shenivra, now that you've come into the world, it's not to be comfortable. That's not the purpose. You're not looking for to be in a comfort zone. Rather, you fashvesh b'masav, ve'eka da'amri yimashmesh b'masav. I don't know if this is true for everybody here, but there are some people who choose Keren B'Yavne as a yeshiva because they know that it's going to be a place which they're going to have to push themselves. If they wanted to choose a place where they would have been like one of the top ones there and it would be easier for them, they probably could have chosen somewhere else. But many people choose this yeshiva specifically because they want to be in the place where they know they're not going to be comfortable. They know they're going to be surrounded by people who are going to be pushing them and it's going to be a challenge for them. And they want that environment. They know that Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra, and they know they came into this world not to be Noach. And they specifically put themselves in an environment where it's going to be a challenge, it's going to be a push, because that's what they want. They want to do the will of Hashem and to be active in this world. So now that you are created, there are two girsas. One girsa is yifashvesh b'masav. You should, I'm just going to say them both generically now, we'll get into the difference in a second. You should like check and analyze your actions. Ve'eka da'amri yimashmesh b'masav. And there's another one that says you should be checking and feeling your actions. So what's the difference between those two? V'tireh sheshnei aloshonos hem shtei azharos tovos u'meiros me'od. Says the Ramchal that when there's an Eka de'amri, it's not a machlokes, rather it's two different ways, two different guidelines, two different hadrachos of how we can work on ourselves. Ki hinei, ha'pishpush b'ma'asim hu lachkor al klal ha'ma'asim v'leitbonen bo. Pishpush is where you search for something. When you search for something, it's where you analyze it, try to understand, what is it that I'm looking for? What is the good way to behave? Let me contemplate this and think about this. Hanimtza behem ma'asim asher lo yasu, are there actions that I shouldn't do? Asher einam holchim al pi mitzvot Hashem v'chukav, are there certain things that are not in line with the will of Hashem? Maybe there are certain things that are not in line with the will of Hashem and I shouldn't do them. That's lefashfesh. You take all that you know, all that's in front of you, and you ask, where did that come from? This I know came from Shira, heard about Mesir Zishor. This I know, the reason why I have this belief, it came from watching some sitcom that I watched when I was younger. Now, it might be okay, but it might not be. That I need extra precaution for, to analyze, is it true or is it not true? Because that belief that I have, which I picked up from that mindset, is not necessarily one that's true. So lefashvesh ma'asav is where you look at all that you do, and you analyze, that which I do, is this in line with the will of Hashem or is it not? Certain things may be, certain things may not be. You have to do that checking, that cheshbon nefesh. Ki kol asher yimatzeh me'eleh, yiv'areh min olam. And if you look at yourself and you realize there are certain actions or ways of speaking or thought patterns that you have which actually are not in line with Hashem's will, you have a thought pattern which you kind of attribute to Yirat Shamayim. When you think about it, every time you think in that way, it takes you further away from Hashem. Doesn't bring you close to Hashem. So that's not the will of Hashem. But that's the way I think. And sometimes I feel that maybe it's coming from a good place. But is it? Does it bring you close to Hashem? And actually, usually when I think along that thought pattern, I feel like I have no energy afterwards. I like lose my strength. I don't feel like when I come to Daven, I want to like, I feel like I have an interest in Daven. So is that thought pattern in line with God's will? I guess not. I thought it was. Or I didn't really think about it. But now I realize that if it's a thought pattern which makes me upset or makes me sad or makes me loses my energy, obviously it's probably not in line with Hashem. That's lefashfesh. Where you just analyze everything that you're doing. Where does it come from? Where did it come to you? That's past. And future, what does it lead to? Does it help you be more successful in your closer to Hashem or not? That's stage number one. Ach mishmush, the second stage, mishmush, where you're like, within the things themselves, you're feeling them. Hu ha-chakira, that's analyzing, afilu b'ma'asim tovim atzmam, even within the good thing that you're doing, lachkor v'lirot, analyze and really pay attention. Hayesh b'inyanim eze p'niya asher lo tova? Are you doing it maybe for an ulterior motive? Or eze chelek rashi tzterech la'asir v'ra? Or is there, overall it's good, but there's a part of it that's not good. It's a good action in general. In general I'm doing chesed, in general I'm learning Torah, in general I'm davening, in general I'm doing a good thing. There's a part of it which is not good. I just give a very, very small example. Sometimes people give tzedakah. It's a good thing. The manner in which they give tzedakah can sometimes be not respectful for the person who receives it. So it's a good thing in general. Don't stop. Keep giving tzedakah, but it needs refinement. Make sure you're doing it in a way which gives the person the honor. So this is mishmush, where you're analyzing all that you're doing. That's an example of where there's something which is good, but there's a bad element to it. Now to take something which is only good, but there may be a bad kavana. I'm going to help someone. That's it. I'm going to help someone. There's no bad in that, right? Why am I going to help them? And I never really thought about it. I'm just going to help them. So there could be many, many aspects of why I'm going to help them. One aspect might be, I'm just an altruistic individual. I want to do good. That's fine. One aspect might be that I look for any opportunity to leave the base measures. One aspect might be that I'm hoping this person will do me a favor in return later on. There could be many aspects. That doesn't mean you should stop doing it. You should still do it. But you need to refine your intention. Maybe you should still do it, even if it's at the expense of Torah from time to time. If you, you know, check within halacha that there's no one else to do it and they need you specifically now, that's fine. Because it's within the halachic boundaries, but you start to check your motives. So mishmush is not stopping doing the good thing. It's doing a good thing, but it's checking in the good thing, are there bad elements in action or even bad elements in motive? And then refining that even further. And that's like where you feel a garment. I mean, either way, it's a garment. It's a good thing. You want to be wearing your garment. But you want to check what quality the garment is. So even the good things that you're doing, you will be wanting to check their quality. Because the goal is that you'll be doing it totally lishma, without any ulterior motives, both in the action, zach v'naki. Zach in your intention, naki in the action, like those two elements that we just spoke about, that the action is a good action through and through, and zach, and you have pure intention in why you're doing it. So that's the two levels of cheshbon nefesh. One level, make sure that all you're doing is good. Number two, make sure even within the good that you're doing it. Klal adava. Ye adam ma'ayen al ma'asav kulam, ומפקח על כל דרכיו, שלא להניח לעצמו הרגל רע ומידה רעה. כל שכן עבירה ופשע. So what he's saying here really, in this line, is not so much that once a week you should have a book and you should look in the book and analyze your actions. But rather, it's you should be in a frame of mind where you're always looking at yourself. And you're always analyzing yourself. And you're always thinking, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Now, obviously, I just want to go back to the obvious, that this has to be done in a healthy manner. Right? If it's done in a manner where a person is getting self-critical, or they're feeling upset with themselves, or they'll stop acting in a natural way because they're always analyzing, why am I doing it? It's coming from a good place. Then it's not worth it. Rather, a person just continue acting normally, and at time to time, they should check in with themselves. But in a natural manner, a person should constantly be aware of their actions and checking their actions and analyzing where they're holding. And that's a mindset which is a Jewish mindset. So a non-Jewish mindset perhaps could be where I do what I do, as long as no one's offended, as long as I'm not upsetting anyone, that's who I am, that's what I do, that's just what I do, that's what I am. And I don't have to think about that or analyze that, or why am I doing it, where does it come from, what is it leading to, or what are my motives? As long as everyone around me is laughing, and I'm laughing, and everyone's in a good mood, and I'm getting the job done, I'm okay. That's how I live my life. Right? And that may be how many people here would be, let's say, in the evening in the dorm, or in the Chadar Ochel, or even at certain times in the Beis Medrash, where I'm just going with the flow, doing what needs to be done, as long as within whatever's normal in society is happening, that's okay. Right? How do I check myself if I'm doing okay? If I didn't get any complaints, if I didn't get any negative feedback, it must be that what I'm doing is okay. If someone tells me that upset me, I'll change. If someone tells me that's out of order, you shouldn't do that, I'll change. That's my way of checking myself. And for many people, that's their way. Their way of like checking within themselves is, if no one said it's a problem, it's probably okay. If no one complained, I must be in a good place. What the Ramchal is writing here is that a person shouldn't wait for it to come from the external that someone gives them feedback. Rather, a person needs to be in a constant state of self-analysis, self-regulation. Checking in with themselves, how am I doing? Is this appropriate? You have a conversation with someone, you go back and you think, why did I say that? Where did that come from in me? Was it appropriate? Was it inappropriate? Could have it offended them? Did I have an ulterior motive? And when a person's in that constant state of thought, where they're always refining upon refining upon refining, then they'll be growing in Avodat Hashem in a way that they'll be close to Hashem in a way that you cannot compare with if it would just be once a week they open a cheshbon nefesh. And certainly you can't compare to someone who just didn't get negative feedback. Most people are too polite to give you negative feedback on the very refined things. They'll give you feedback of something which is like really obvious and really big and really inappropriate. You'll get feedback on those things. You won't get feedback if you have ulterior motives. Even if other people are aware of them. They won't give you, it's too sensitive. People are, you know, they give you your private space. They're not going to give you that. A couple of times in my life, I've done something which I wish would have worked, but it didn't work. Where I've gone to people who are close to me, and I've said to them, you know, I'm just looking to grow. Would you tell me anything that you see about me that you think needs to be fixed that I may be overlooking? I've done it 3 times in my life, and every time they say, no, you're amazing, you're great, which I don't think is true. I mean, I don't think that they contemplated. Maybe they, you know, I think they probably had what to say. But they wanted me to feel good, and they were okay, and I'm fine. I say, no, I'm not saying that because I have low self-esteem, and I want to feel good. I'm saying, go on, tell me I'm perfect. Oh, thank you. This is so much better now. I appreciate it. Oh, you're the best. That's not what I'm saying. I really, really want to know. Like, I'm not going to be offended by it. I want to know that there's things I'm overlooking, and you could be helpful to me. And in each case, it didn't work. Or at least, you know, with the people that I spoke to, they didn't give me anything. By the way, anyone here who has anything for me they want to share with me? I'm very open to it, and I'll be happy to hear any feedback. If you're embarrassed, you could just, like, you know, open a new account of an email and send it to me from an anonymous email. That's also fine. I would love to hear. I would love to hear any feedback anyone has. But a person's always looking for that. So looking to grow. He won't wait for the outside people to tell him. He's within his own inner world, checking constantly. That's klal adava. We've said details, but this is the rule. This is what you must adopt. A person should be constantly analyzing and checking himself. Not only his masav, his actions, but also his drachav, his mindsets, his belief system, that he's leading his life with, what underlying beliefs guide him throughout his life. Because if you don't do that and you allow yourself just to go with whatever's happening, whatever's normal, undoubtedly negative things will come in. Like we gave the mashal once before, if you take a stone and you put it on the earth and you leave it there for the long time, and you know you didn't put anything else underneath the stone, and you pick up the stone after a few months, what's going to be underneath it? So you think nothing. But no, when you pick it up, there's worms and maggots and insects. Because the nature of man is that when you leave yourself and don't actively work on yourself, the negative forces are waiting to jump in. They're waiting to... Kol shekein aver v'pesha. V'hinini ro'eh tzorech la'adam. Says the Ramchal, I see that it's essential for man. She'eh medakdek v'shokel derachav devar yom b'yomo. I say the Ramchal, that it's essential for every individual to be medakdek, meaning that's very precise, v'shokel, and analyze, meaning medakdek, find every element, find every area, and everything that you find, you should shokel, you should weigh up on a constant basis, every day. Because socharim agadolim, just like people who are in business, learn from the businessmen. Asher yifalsu tamid kol iskehem leman lo yitkalkalu. They're worried they're going to lose a dime, a shekel, an agura, a penny, a rand. I run out of things. They're worried they're going to lose a mark. They don't want to miss anything, even the slightest, miniest thing. So they're always doing a cheshbon nefesh again and again to make sure accounts have to work. The end of the month or the end of the season, they have to make sure that everything, and they don't want to wait till the end of the season, they want to make sure all the way through. V'kvayitim v'shaot leze. Shelo yeh mishkalo aray. They don't just like, oh, now and then I'll look at my account, see how I'm doing. Oh, I'm in minus. Where did that come from? No, there's constant checks to make sure they're doing. They even pay someone else. They pay an accountant to look over their accounts and make sure everything's above board. B'kviut gadol ki rafa toradau, because they know what a great benefit there is from it. So too, there's a tremendous obligation on us where it's not just our finances, but it's our spiritual finances, where it's our whole future. It's our whole relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How essential is it that we have a way of constantly, or at least a system that we set up, where we have an obligation to constantly be checking in with ourselves, to making sure that we're on a good path, following the path of Hashem. And that's why, you know, today and yesterday and tomorrow, what we're speaking about here for the first whole section of Mesillas Yesharim is the basis for everything in the future. If you're doing Cheshbon Nefesh, the rest of the book is worthwhile. If you're not doing Cheshbon Nefesh, the rest of the book you'll say, that's a great idea, fantastic, well said. But you won't do anything about it. It won't transform you. So the basis has to be that you're doing a cheshbon nefesh. You're constantly analyzing yourself. Then you'll be open to hear the rest of the words of Mrs. Yisharim to allow them to have a deep impact on you, which they will have a deep impact on you throughout your life. Shakur.